This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Here we go. It's hour two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day. C-Note's coming up here in 20 minutes. Cowboys news of the evening. We'll talk about a lot of the big topics going around about this football team. Coaching search, trading the edge, and all your stories as they get set to lose to Washington, Brian.
Can I correct something? Will Chambers helping me out here about Texas hosting a game. You know, we talked about maybe Quinn Ewers. He says if they win the conference championship, it's a neutral site in the top four. If they were to lose the SEC title game, maybe that's how they would do it. So
they got to be a 5-8.
Yeah, oh, because if they win, they get the bye, and then it becomes
and then it becomes one of the games. So thanks for Will for correcting me on that. I appreciate that.
And wouldn't it be cool if the Cowboys hired Ray Lewis as their next head coach? I mean, you want the storyline.
You
want
the quotability.
Yeah, head coach?
Yeah, the inspiration. Yeah, it'd be fun. It'd be a great story to cover.
Would he come out of the tunnel with his dance as a head coach every time? I think he'd have to, right?
You got
to
lead the team out with that.
Yeah.
Lead from the front.
I think that'd be killer. You know, it's the kind of literally emotional, passionate leader. It's time now for Wolchuk's NFL News of the Day, buddy.
Well, happy birthday to our buddy Zach Martin, who joined us last season all year as our player guest. It is a birthday for him. He still has the same amount of first-team All-Pro selections as he does holding penalties with 7. And he's probably going to be seeing the last few games of his career. That's kind of all of our assumption.
Yeah, he's really, really beat up. I asked about him this morning, availability. It seems like that they'll be okay with Tyler Smith at left guard, but we'll see what happens at right guard. This could be a close one.
I mean, I saw Calvin with the report yesterday. He's got 2 bad ankles.
Yeah.
He's been banged up all over.
When you ask about him, it's like what injury you want to talk about.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, we did get the semifinalists of the Hall of Fame. They got announced today. Once again, Darren Woodson has made the semifinals. It's time. I mean, if it doesn't happen now, he might end up having to wait like Drew Pearson for the senior committee.
Hope not.
But he needs to be put into the Hall of Fame. This needs to end. We talk about it every single year. There probably was not a safety that was more deserving in the entire decade of the 90s, and there's several others that are in there now. Mm-hmm. And you've got to put Darren Woodson in there. I know we've talked with Dave Campo, Zim, you know, and they'll say they probably did him a disservice because he was playing corner as well as safety. So did he have one true position? You can't have the all-time leading tackler of the Dallas Cowboys not in the Hall of Fame.
I was with Leroy Butler and Darren Woodson, both. Leroy Butler's in the Hall of Fame, just recently put in. Darren Woodson is a better football player than Leroy Butler.
Yeah.
And I love Leroy Butler. I appreciate the fact that I wear a Super Bowl ring because of him, you know. But Darren Woodson is a better football player than Leroy Butler.
Amen.
And I say that with utmost confidence.
You'd know better than anybody when it comes to that one. Hopefully, this is the year that Woody finally gets to go into
both guys
the Hall of Fame. Now, the leading group of first year eligibility guys are Eli Manning, former Defensive Player of the Year Luke Kuechly. I do think Luke Kuechly's probably going to be able to go in here first ballot. You look at Kuechly, where he ranked among all linebackers during his time in the league.
How many years did he play?
It
wasn't long.
It wasn't long, but Patrick Willis, I believe, got in, didn't he? And he was also a guy that played like 8 years.
Yeah.
I think Kuechly's around the same.
The one I remember is Terrell Davis, the running back that didn't play
absolutely
a long time. Yeah.
First in tackles among all defenders, regardless of position. First in interceptions. Tied for first in fumble recovery, second in tackles for loss, 5th in total snaps played, 2nd in havoc plays. I didn't know we were keeping tabs on havoc plays, but I want the havoc play numbers from now
havoc
on.
Havoc rate, dude. Havoc rate's one of our favorite stats in football.
We're havocing right now. But I think that Kuechly's probably going to end up getting in here. Be interesting with Eli. I mean, I'm not a believer there. Suggs is also a guy.
500 quarterback, isn't he? His record.
Yeah, he's a 500 regular season quarterback.
He's got the two Super Bowls. He's won two Super Bowls. Yep.
I think he's a Hall of Famer, but he's not first ballot.
I don't think he's first ballot either. Torrey Holt, Reggie Wayne, Willie Anderson, Jari Evans, they're all guys that are returning finalists as well. And then Earl Thomas, former Texas and Seattle Seahawks safety, is also a first-time finalist and has made the semifinals. Now, this was Earl talking with Josina Anderson about should he be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
What would happen to you mentally or emotionally if you were not a first ballot Hall of Famer?
What would happen? I would just know that I'm better than Ed Reed. I'm better than Troy Polamalu. That would just be that.
Uh-huh. Okay. So how do you think fans will react to that?
They got to know my game. I know a lot of Seattle fans would agree.
Mm-hmm.
I know for sure that 2013 team, that we don't win a Super Bowl without me. Mm-hmm. We don't go back without me either. Mm-hmm. So that's just that.
Okay. So, and how would you feel if it didn't happen beyond just declaring that you're better than them? You know, is that something that you would protest or
have a problem
with it, lose sleep over?
I wouldn't protest it. I just know that I'm a first ballot Hall of Famer. Like, you know, I came in with Eric Bear. Eric Bear is a good safety.
Mm-hmm.
Who else they got? Who else they got this decade that's like that? Nobody. I went like way out there past these guys.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Sherm got his attitude for me. Cam got his attitude for me. Like, every time they get mad at me for saying these things. That's why I don't like to go into detail about these things.
I think Earl was awesome. But, I mean, that's you got to sell yourself, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't put Earl Thomas with Troy Polamalu and Ed Reed.
I'd say he had an impact in the game, though.
Oh, he did. He was phenomenal.
Him and that Cam Chancellor were two badasses.
No doubt.
That back end.
And I loved him coming out of Texas. I was like, damn, I would have loved the Cowboys to have drafted him. I was nervous the Eagles traded up in that draft. It was also the Dez draft. I was like, crap, they're going to go get Earl Thomas. They didn't. They ended up drafting, I believe it was Brandon Graham, who's still now with the Eagles and playing. But
still playing.
Earl, brilliant player.
I think likability comes into play a lot, you know, when you're talking about the votes from humans. And I just think that you heard more of it there. You know, there is a toxicity to Earl. And I think because it's not an obvious declaration that he is, you know, you dive into what a lot of the people in the know around his team are going to tell their peers. And that is Earl Thomas was allowed to totally freelance, just run and make plays like crazy because everybody else on his defense was so damn good. They had like five good corners on the team that won it. You know, the linebackers, the defensive line was really good. You know, so I think there's a lot of nuance with the Earl Thomas, you know, candidacy here for the Hall.
A little bit surprised he was like first ballot semifinalist.
He had to play a lot of coverage because Cam Chancellor couldn't, but Cam played down in the box and was really a force down there. There were a lot of times where when you watched Earl play that, you know, he had to, Dawson's right, they had some good corners there, but he also had to play a lot of coverage too to kind of help out because of how much that Chancellor was down around the line of scrimmage and that physicality that they played with.
From like a center fielder standpoint, I mean, for my money,
stud.
Outside of Ed Reed, in my time watching football, I don't see anybody better than Earl. I mean, he's definitely a Hall of Fame player.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree. But Reed and Polamalu, my gosh, you've got Ed Reed, two more Pro Bowls, three more All-Pro teams, led the league in interceptions three times, won the NFL's Defense Player of the Year Award. Polamalu also made more Pro Bowls, more All-Pro teams, also Defensive Player of the Year in 2010. I don't think he's quite on those guys' level, but he's on the next tier.
Yeah.
Definitely on the next tier.
And that tier's a Hall of Famer.
Hall of Famer. I don't think he'll be a first ballot one, though, but we'll see. I mean, it would really tick me off if they put Earl in and Darren Woodson still just left over here waiting.
That would be really unfortunate.
Waiting.
Yeah.
That would be a bummer. Okay, let's get to Adam Schefter. Schefty does a weekly visit with Kevin Clark. And Kevin Clark asks him, like, okay, well, where's the, you know, most interesting place that you've ever dropped a story? And here was Shefty's reply.
I can remember being in Denver one time, and I was
You were pooping, Shefty. Gummies and golf?
How do I say this? I had just spent time.
Yeah.
With this woman for the first time.
Yeah. Okay.
And
sure.
And got a text that Dale Carter was being suspended. I think it was for 8 games for substance abuse. And so as I continue to lay there, confirm it, and got the job done, Kevin, in every which way.
Good for you, Shefty.
Wow. Good look at him. Mid coitus, he's checking his phone. Hey. There must be like a special ring. Like, dude, you got to pick this
when
one.
You're,
up.
When you're an insider, job never stops.
It's like after.
What do you mean by insider?
Yeah.
You use that, play with the imagination, boys.
People sit around with smoke a cigarette, that kind of thing. Shefty looks at his phone.
Breaking news. But I kind of sounded like maybe towards the end of that story, he suggested that he was, you know, in the midst of the act.
I think he was.
Because I wouldn't be surprised if somebody afterwards, and then he snapped right back into
that huck.
I think it was mid-act. You see it. Then he said, I laid, you know, confirmed, and then boom, there goes the tweet.
Would love to get her perspective on this.
Yeah. Could she sense the distraction level? Did he really go ahead and have success in multiple ways here?
He's speaking with some confidence there.
He's speaking a lot of confidence.
Maybe just took a stamina break.
Full of Earl Thomas confidence.
Might be married to the gal now.
It's hard.
Maybe. Damn right it is, Lucius. Damn right it is.
I feel like he'd have been proud of that, though. Like, and now she's my wife.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's my girl.
He maybe didn't want to embarrass her.
But this is just when he was working at, I guess, like the Denver Post. He wasn't even like big time Adam Schefter
early
NFL.
Career.
Like, you think our beat writers are that committed?
No.
You think Clarence Hill stopping mid?
No, I think they all know the stories. They're just waiting for somebody to get permission to break it with our media.
It's like, hey,
it's very cordial.
Yeah. It's all right.
Yeah.
We do have drama in the Big Apple. We start with the Jets. Yesterday, they fired the GM. And now there's a bunch of stories coming out of The Athletic about Woody Johnson wanting to bench Aaron Rodgers after their 10-9 loss to the Broncos in week 4. He was sacked 5 times in the loss, through just 225 yards, no touchdowns. After the game, Woody Johnson calls all hands on deck. Let's have a meeting that featured several prominent members of the organization, including his brother, Christopher Johnson. And the team's president, several members of the staff, including Robert Saleh, OC Nathaniel Hackett, defensive coordinator, which is now the interim head coach. And it was during the meeting that he suggested benching Rodgers. And let's turn things over to Tyrod Taylor. He also apparently put the kibosh on a trade for Jerry Jeudy over the offseason. Instead, he ends up going to Cleveland, where he is now. So I don't know what's going on with the Jets. Nobody really does, even over there, know what's going on. But it does seem as though if he was already wanting to bench Aaron Rodgers, what we were hearing yesterday when they will look for a new GM and head coach, they're probably parting ways with Aaron Rodgers after this season. And I think it's time to just retire, Aaron. You clearly are no longer the same player. It needs to be Dunsky here. Sayonara.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny. What do you think, Broadus? Is this the GM, Joe Douglas, getting fired, and then before even cleaning out his office, he hops on the horn and calls Diana Russini and says, all right, here's the tea?
She's been plugged in with all of this, and they've been trying to say that all of what she's saying is false. It's all been damn true.
Yeah, maybe he might even back-channeled that thing. He might have told somebody like Howie Roseman or whatever, and then Howie gets a hold of Diana, somebody like that. You don't have to go directly to her. You could just back-channel that thing. Somebody could say, hey, listen, I was talking with Joe. You're not going to believe what went on with the Jets. And it doesn't look like, you know, it doesn't look like him reporting. It's, you know, they can't connect him to that unless he told another GM or another buddy in the league.
Just an awful, awful situation. Like Woody Johnson, that owner, he's like Dan Snyder levels of incompetence. And I can't wait to see which guy decides, like, yeah, I want to go be the head coach there.
Hmm. Yeah, I know. It's tough. Like, someone's going to take the job, but it's not a good job to have. Not at all. Things go to the Jets to die. It's kind of like what we say about the Browns. Might still be relevant with the Browns. And then with the Giants, just over next door, you've got Daniel Jones getting benched. Now, he's taking QB4 reps, apparently, in practice. It's really fallen downhill for Daniel Jones.
I mean, QB4 reps? Is that even such a thing?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if there's even room for a fourth quarterback with how little they're able to practice these days. Yeah. Dexter Lawrence, though, who is their star defensive lineman, thinks he's being unfairly benched here. He said that's my best friend. It's tough for that to happen. I can't control it. They made the decision off their evaluation, their thoughts. That's my boy. As a player, you got to keep playing. As a human and as a brother, I feel for him. He said he's the best quarterback to me. He's the best quarterback on the team, but they see things differently. So at least, you know, some of the teammates having Daniel Jones back, we know that this is overall a big picture play. It's to save a ton of money, and that's also why they're not going to Drew Locke. They're going to Tommy Cutlets. Hey.
I'd be fired up, man, if I was one of these players. Like, that dude's got moxie. And he just undercut Tommy Cutlett's like that.
He did.
Like, Daniel Jones is definitely better. Like, you just put an even bigger chip on the shoulder of Tommy Cutlett's. Watch out. Who are they playing this week?
The Giants.
Watch out. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Got the Cowboys. The Cowboys.
That might be a survivor.
We want Danny coming in hot. Or Tommy.
Tommy.
Yeah. Tommy. Giants are hosting the Bucks. Bucks are going to get Mike Evans back this week, by the way. Be a good boost for them.
Right on. Thank you, Wolchuk. We're up to date here on your NFL news of the day. If you want more, I mean, stuff's going to be breaking here over the next hour, 45 minutes. Check in every afternoon, 5 o'clock, for an edition of Football's Finest with the Chief. C-Note, you want some draft odds? What are the chances the Cowboys end up with the top pick? That's coming up next in the nation. Let's go. It's time for some Cowboys Twitter here. Top tweets going viral. And there's a little bit of breaking news. An update on a story segment is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one has been injured in a car truck wreck due to somebody's negligence, call the Frankels and get a free consultation. 214 or 817-333-3333. Hit frankelfirm.com. Source saying Prime would consider leaving Colorado if the team drafting Shador wants him as the head coach. I've been assuming that, you know.
Yeah.
I think this is confirmation, though. And obviously the Cowboys would have to be on the top of that list. We were talking about it earlier. You know, if the Cowboys would decide to draft a quarterback this year, you'd have Dak at $90 million next year. If you don't flip a switch on that, that's a huge cap hit. But if you could find a way to sit through that and then emerge on the other end with a Dak contract that's a lot more tradable or releasable, would it be worth it to take a quarterback now if you could also secure Deion Sanders? You know, I would love it. I think that would be an awesome story. I don't know that the advantage of Deion applies in the NFL like it does in college. You know, the attraction of Deion in college is, well, we got to send our kid to play sports somewhere. They're going to get somewhere between a couple hundred grand and $10 million. And prime time? You kidding me? You know, at Colorado, especially if it's, you know, a defensive back or somebody, a high-profile player that could benefit from the social media spotlight. Like, that's the only thing you get in the NFL. And that's more Jerry, right? That's more Jerry benefiting from Deion's marketability and the brand and the image and all that than Deion acquiring players with that celebrity. So, you know, I don't know if it would, if it's possible still. I think if it was 1 year later, it would be significantly more possible. I just feel like we would need some sort of revelation on the Cowboys side that they want to move on from Dak Prescott. And I don't think we've even heard any sort of an inside whisper. No, the only thing that I've heard is, you know, 5 years or so or so ago when they were negotiating that second contract, of Jerry asking, you know, people, are we sure this is our guy?
That's true.
You know, but other than that, there has not even been a crack in that confidence in the guy. But if I'm an NFL team and I'm building, I know we're not winning it next year. I need a quarterback, and I'm picking 7th, 12th. I'm going to take Deion up on that opportunity, because we can get a quarterback that would go higher, but he's going to make them hold off or trade him to you. You know, I think that's a unique opportunity. What would you guys add to this discussion?
Well, I wonder if they wanted to go about it now and just say, hey, we'll take Deion as our coach and we'll draft Shador. Like, I wonder if Dak would just say, okay, then just trade me.
Yeah.
You know, maybe he's got the no trade clause, so he would obviously have to sign off on anything like that. But I wonder if he would just say, like, okay, like, literally the guy who's about to replace me, his dad is my coach. Like, I just don't even want to be here. And yeah. I don't know what the salary cap ramifications of that would be, like trading Dak. I'm sure they would be pretty lofty, but anything's maneuverable. I mean, we've seen teams eat plenty of dead money now, from Russell Wilson with the Broncos, Carson Wentz a few years ago with the Eagles. Like, teams are willing to eat plenty of dollars there.
Yeah.
So, but I still don't see how the Cowboys end up doing that.
No, that would be just such a departure from their priorities.
Yeah, I actually would be very interested. I don't know that you're going to get this high again in the draft. That's always been the fallback when we talk about the Cowboys and drafting quarterbacks. Are they ever going to be in a position to be in the top 10 to take one? And now this year, it's kind of gifted you in an area where you're probably going to be. And now you're in an even more rare situation where that player possibly and guaranteed to go higher than you because of the uniqueness of Dion and the father son, and he might have the power to pull what we saw the Mannings do and say, this is the spot we are going to, and make it happen to where you can land him. I think it would be fascinating. I'd love to see what Dion could do as an NFL head coach. People said that it wouldn't work in college. He's got the Buffaloes on the verge of possibly winning a Big 12 championship. The yeah. dude can coach. Okay. So, you know, people that don't like him, that's fine. But I would be interested. If you're going to flirt with the idea of Jason Witten, which apparently I think is very real there, I don't know why you wouldn't consider Dion. Dion, to me, is a lot more well-established, having just been a head coach at a Power 5 college team, than a dude who's coaching private school high school football right now.
I mean, it's the same as college, right? If you feel like you need a quarterback for the future, and there's Dion saying, hey, I want to go coach my kid in college, I think a number of places would be interested in that relationship. What would be your perspective, Brian, working NFL personnel?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be difficult to navigate that. I really do, because I think somebody will draft him. And a smart team ahead of you would draft him and make Dallas trade for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, they would hold Dallas up. You know, how bad do you want him?
Yeah, especially because Dion would already be the coach of whatever team before right. the draft. So right. now it's like the whatever team has Dion, now they're like, we've gone all in on this. We have to give up whatever it takes to get Shadur.
I would absolutely hold you up if I was ahead of you.
Yeah,
I would. I mean, you know, you're picking up here. You know, you're normally picking 25, 26, 27. Now you're picking fifth. You know, I'm going to hold you up for some of your picks you got in this draft.
I think that the fan base that realistically should be excited about this is the Raiders.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen all that stuff as well. I mean, there's a lot of hype building with the Raiders. But Dion's even said he likes Antonio Pierce. That might be one where Dion would stay in Colorado, and yeah. he's just cool with Shador going to plant for AP there and yeah. the Raiders.
Could I ask you guys a question?
Yeah.
And I just was curious, because we're talking about coaches. If you had to take an old coach, who would you take between, say, Bill Belichick and Nick Saban?
Wow, I think I like the idea of Nick Saban. That's a guy who has shown year after year at Alabama, he can restock the coaching pipeline. It's a rehabilitation center for coaches that, okay, you're casted off, come here, yeah. and we'll figure it out. And he understands also the new age way of doing offense. Bill Belichick, yeah. I have no inkling that he's actually has any understanding of that.
Yeah, that would be the hit for me, is that he showed, 5 or 6 years ago at Bama, mm-hmm. like, hey, our boring offense and playing great defense isn't winning the championship anymore. We got to get high octane. Right. And they quickly transitioned into that. So, yeah, I think Chief nailed it.
And even Saban, like, it wasn't like he was terrible when he went to the Dolphins. His first year there, they were 9-7.
9-7, okay.
And then the that's Miami, where they had, I mean, they swung and missed on Dante Culpepper for sure.
Yeah.
But I mean, with bad quarterbacks, he was 500 or better.
I just feel like that he, you know, maybe I thought this, I thought with Urban Meyer, you know, my kind of like, okay, maybe interview Urban Meyer for that job, like before McCarthy took it, kind of a thing.
Yeah, I was with you on that too. But, and then he went and kicked the kicker, and I was like, yeah, crap.
But now, I think if I was Jerry Jones and I was changing my coach, I'd go talk to Nick Saban to see if I could make him. Nick Saban's like a young 70-year-old guy, but he makes everybody accountable in the organization. Knows personnel, has structure, you know. I feel like this second time around for him, that Dolphin thing was a long time ago.
Yeah.
That went from LSU to the Dolphins. That was a national championship. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, all those years at Alabama.
You think he still wants to coach?
I'd get in my plane and fly to Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and talk to him about it.
Who do you think feels younger, Saban or Belichick right now?
That's a good call. Yeah. That's a good call, because
Belichick feels 17 years younger right now.
He does. He absolutely does.
I've never had so much vigor in my life.
You're absolutely right about that, Lucius. I just wonder about, though, would Nick Saban be that guy that could get you through a tough, because you're going to need team building, you're going to need discipline, you're going to need accountability. You know, you're going to have to redo this thing.
Yeah, Saban made a Dolphins player cry at practice when he was the head coach there. I can't remember the guy's name. I think he was a defensive tackle or an offensive lineman. Giant dude, and you see little old Saban ripping into him. This dude is literally coming to tears on the practice field.
He wants the details right.
I think the Cowboys need that, but also, like,
If you were hiring Jerry's, an old coach.
Yeah, I'm going Saban.
I'd go
yeah.
if you were saying,
I mean, Saban would be at the top of my list, old or young. I mean, he'd be right up there.
I was just thinking if you're considering Bill Belichick, you ought to consider Nick Saban too.
But well, Saban's going to command big dollars, and Jerry's not paying that.
Well, but
maybe he will, but it'd be the first time.
To me, you've got to go out and hire Nick Saban if you're Jerry Jones. Holy jeez. That now you're this thing's going
be
in
like
the right direction.
Hiring Parcells.
Maybe even better.
And that does seem like a much more Jerry type thing to do. You know, there's so many different ways that this thing goes away from prime and to somebody else, you know, and I think wanting a veteran coach, wanting an older guy is definitely the way that Jerry would want to push it. I think the trustability factor is huge, unfortunately, with Jerry. I think that, but also with the big signing bonus for Dak Prescott, we see with head coaches how Jerry doesn't even want to part for $3 or $4 million. For a guy that's not actively working. How about signing the big deal, giving the signing bonus, and then trading him away? It seems like there are so many like big things. But again, the update on the story was a source close to Deion says he is willing to go to the NFL, leave Colorado, if the team that drafts Shador wants to hire him. That's interesting. We'll get the Cowboys.
That's pretty cool, though, in the fact that he coached Shador since Little League.
Yes.
And he's followed him up every single level, even coached him in high school at Texas Christian.
Yeah, it's
pretty cool, man.
It's so fun, you know, and I think he probably looks at it like, maybe I don't have any more time to coach my kid. Maybe this is the last couple of games.
It
but is there another opportunity in the NFL, and how much he loves that? I think, you know, a team would be wise to use that as leverage to, you know, get their next quarterback candidate. All right. Coming up next here in the G-Bag Nation, it's time for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning. Brian, where are we going?
Yeah, let's talk about this Commanders offense, and it'll be some interesting facts to know about it. We'll talk about them next.
Yes, sir. Tim Cato's coming up at 4 o'clock. Mavs fans, let's talk about this basketball team. I think last night was the last day of the season. They're going to be at 500 or worse. Ooh. They're about to full send, and can't wait to watch. Okay, time now for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here's Ryan.
Thank you very much, Sheryl. Thank you very much for Reliant as well. You guys didn't have the benefit of watching Lucius warm up like he was Michael Phelps before he did that read. Lucius,
I need my neck rubbed down, bro.
Lucius went full Michael Phelps. You know when he does his arms?
Yeah,
and Lucius, he did that. He like, I thought he was getting ready for the
like a breaststroke.
Jump on in.
He was getting ready for the 100 free. Yeah.
Oh, the free.
He was, but you know, you ever seen Michael Phelps warm up?
Mm-hmm.
That's Lucius was giving us one of those.
Those lat pull downs are talking to my shoulders right now. It really hurts. I got the CBD cream that your guy gave us.
Oh yeah,
oh yeah.
And I'm about to rub it down in here.
Well, I wish I had that.
I'm going to rub my neck down.
Attaboy.
Kind of had that kind of flexibility.
Clarification.
If I'd have done that, my arm would have just flew off. You know, can you just see like me? Does I just do it and the arm just fly off into the distance? So, anyway. But all right, these Commanders. You excited to learn about the Commanders this week, Dawson?
Absolutely, man. Guess the update.
Do you have anything you want to know about the Commanders offense? Anything pressing in your mind about this rookie quarterback or anything like that?
How good is their running game?
Running game's pretty good.
No.
Yeah. And it's Brian Robinson. It's pretty good with the running game part of it. And then they also have Austin Eckler is part of the running game. But earlier in the year when you're watching tape of the Commanders too, their quarterback was involved with the run. And they're kind of gone away with that since he has been a little bit nicked up.
That rib shot.
Yeah. They don't want to run him nearly as much. And I will say this though, if I get a chance to tell Eric Kendricks.
You got a little tip of the week, huh?
A little tip of the week for Eric Kendricks. If he asks.
I think he's going to ask.
I'm sure he's going to ask.
No, he's not going to ask. He didn't care less. But I'm tell you what, though, this quarterback, when he escapes, it's always to his right. Always to his right.
Okay, drop back to pass. Doesn't like what he sees. If he's going to take
if
off,
he's
it's going to the
run,
right.
If he's going to run, Eric, and you guys got him kind of trapped,
he's going to his right.
He's going to his right. That's where
Is he looking to throw?
Every touchdown pass he's thrown this year has been from the pocket. Nothing outside the tackle box. Isn't that hard to believe? You think a guy like him that kind of moves around like the way he does, everything has been from the pocket, from that area. So, but Eric, if I had to tell you, if you're listening right now,
we know he is.
He'll escape going to your left. Just be ready. Your left. He's going to escape going to your left. So just
the defense is left.
Defense is left. His offensive right. So keep an eye on that. That's where the positive runs have come from. Not going the other way. Going to the right.
Going to the right.
Going to the right. Positive runs.
Strong side.
All right. Yeah, this quarterback is, he's not playing like a rookie dude. He really is not. I mean, he has the talent. We talked about is the mobility, the arm strength, the accuracy. He rarely makes a mistake. He's not going to turn the ball over. Actually, he's played better against versus the blitz than with no blitz. That's kind of unusual for a rookie quarterback. He has a touchdown interception ratio of 4-0. He hadn't thrown an interception against the blitz this year. You know, you get quarterbacks that sometimes have problems with the pressures and stuff like that. But what's interesting about this guy, they don't do any play action with him. Very rarely do you see any play action passes. And I wonder if that's because they don't want him to turn his back to the offense and then have to pick everything up. But they do very little play action pass. So when you get the snap, they play in the pistol formation. He's just going to drop and throw. And what he does is you're going to get the ball's going to come out really, really quick.
So you're getting the run action off the pistol still?
The pistol is just, they block it. He doesn't even turn and fake it. He just takes his snap and they block out of it is what they do. So they very rarely ask him to do any type of play action stuff.
Yeah, because, I mean, how much under center is he? I mean, play not action much. Is usually an under center deal. If you're going to be a shotgun team, you're probably not doing it, especially
pistol. You could do that. You could fake the handoff and then throw it out of that. But they don't do anything with him to turn his back to the defense and then have to...
I feel like that's huge for the Cowboys.
Yeah.
If you can't play that game well...
Yeah.
You know, I feel like we have multiple defenders who struggle with how to read that.
They do. The problem that this guy presents is that you've faced some quarterbacks the last couple of weeks that hold the football. This guy doesn't. He is going to that 2.5 seconds. That ball, you watch him, it's like it's constantly just snap, throw, snap, throw. It's not like hold it, read. You know, and kind of figure out, I mean, Hurts was hold it, you know, Stroud, hold it. This guy, but his
Stroud number, got it out pretty good this week, though, didn't
if
he?
And I think he was worried about his offensive line, and I'll get to this offensive line because I kind of feel like there's a spot. Now, this is where if Mike Zimmer, maybe I need to text him. I'm like, hey, Mike, here's my tip of the week for you.
You don't want to share that on the air?
What's that?
You don't want to share the tip of the week on the air?
No, I'll give it to you. I'll give it right here.
Okay, let's go. Give it to us.
Yeah. Their left tackle, Brandon Coleman, the rookie.
The TCU.
Yeah. He needs to put Micah Parsons over the top of him and every single time rush him inside. This kid's got some of that. Unfortunately, what happens to Terrence Steele when you can't power step inside and cut somebody off? If Mike were to cover... If they cover the guard and Nick Allegretti, who plays next to him, they cover Nick Allegretti and put Parsons on the outside to rush inside on Coleman, Coleman can't block him. Coleman cannot. I guarantee you Micah Parsons is going to get a sack this game going inside on Brandon Coleman.
Put in the call.
Yeah. Because he
punched the ticket.
He cannot handle power step into the inside. He just can't. And so they have to give him some help. But if you can occupy the guard and make him have to play one-on-one, that's where you can maybe do some good things.
Simulated pressures?
I think so. But to me, you've got to be able to, like I say, you got to match this thing up to where you put your best on their worst. And I think that, you know, their offensive line has done a pretty nice job, but it's the left tackle that I feel like, because it used to be Cornelius Lucas was the player there. Now they've moved Coleman into that spot.
He's been pretty good for them.
Yeah. Who, Coleman or Lucas?
Coleman. But there's some rumblings like, would he be a better guard? Was he athletic enough to your point to play tackle?
Yeah.
And I did think guard might be his best spot, but he's been better than I thought he would be with Washington.
Well, I'll tell you this, though. You watch all their sacks, and that when he's involved, there's a common thread there.
It's inside.
It's all inside pressure. And I don't know how you cannot watch that tape of him and say that, you know, like even on the outside, even stuff around the edge, people have run around him, but it's the inside stuff that's caused the most problem. And that's the direct path right there to Jaden Daniels. All right, this this receiving core, it's an interesting one. Terry McLaurin finally has a quarterback. And he is going to – they're going to throw the ball down the field too. They're going to take some deep shots. This is one of the better deep ball teams that the Cowboys will face this year. Just watching the way that they play with the vertical routes and stuff like that. And Jalen Daniels is totally comfortable throwing the ball down the field when it comes to the deep shots. And Terry McLaurin is his guy on this one. So Dallas is probably going to be challenged in this football game with the deep shots with Terry McLaurin. Where his best routes are, though, are the routes, though. We talked about the vertical ones, but we've also got – you've got to be able to be able to manage him. There's a couple different spots that he really likes to work. He likes to work the go route I mentioned, the hitch, the slant, and the cross. Those are the four best routes of Terry McLaurin. When you watch him throw after throw after throw, those are the ones that he can execute the best. So – things going downfield vertically, you're like say, you're probably not going to, you know, you're going to have, from what I heard, you're going to have Jordan Lewis back. He'll be playing the slot, but who's going to play on the outside? I don't think it's going to be Bland. So you're probably in a situation where it's going to be Israel McQuamu and those guys. Safety's got to be ready for that ball going inside and then up the field as well. I mentioned the running backs real quick, and starting talking about pressure. They've had some problems with Austin Ekeler. Austin Eckler's their best player run after catch. So they'll throw him the ball in the flat. That's something that this quarterback is extremely accurate. I think he's only missed two passes thrown in the flat or at the line of scrimmage. Austin Eckler's big part of that and the run after catch. Where Austin Ekeler gets in a little bit of trouble, though, is as a blitz pickup guy.
Small.
Yeah. Teams that have blitzed and when the Commanders have asked him to block, it's been a problem. He's been giving up pressures and he's been giving up sacks. So somehow, some way, after the way that the Texans ran that screen game the other day, you're going to see a screen with Austin Ekeler in this game. Trust me, you're going to get some of that. You're going to get a deep shot. You're going to get some screens. You're also going to get, you need to look out for Zach Ertz is back. Zach Ertz is
an old Cowboy killer right there.
He is. There's the intermediate routes. The second most targeted player on this team is Zach Ertz, and he's catching the ball really well. You're not going to get a whole lot of, from him run after catch, but he's catching the ball between that 10 and 19 yard area is where he's working for the Commanders. So they've done a really nice job with him. Quarterback trusts him, gets him the football. And so those are the things you kind of have to worry about right now.
He was a DNP in practice today, just for the record.
I think probably a veteran. What did they say the injury was?
That's a good question. Let me see.
I wonder if that was one of those rest deals.
Might be NIR rest.
Yeah, one of those things with the rest and stuff like that. But this team running the football, like, you know, Dawson, you asked about that. Brian Robinson, quality back. His runs are not always to the outside. His runs are more inside between the tackles. He's going to get about 5 yards of carry running the ball inside. They've had some success, as most teams, when you play light box or neutral box against them. You know, both him and Ekeler both have had some success running the football. They've had some trouble against teams that played heavy box. We've kind of talked about that in the past. That's eight or more defenders down in the box. But Brian Robinson, it's going to be more, last week it was more about bouncing it, getting it to the outside. This time it's going to be more about taking it in between the tackles.
Has the quarterback running less taken away their potency that you can see on film last 5 weeks or so?
Yeah, it's different. It's different because the threat is there, but is the willingness there? And I think that's where the problem, that when you play defense against these guys, that the threat of him being able to run, him to pull the ball and then take off running. I wouldn't be surprised if he tried to run the ball a little bit more than what he has. The Steelers and Eagles did a pretty good job of keeping him contained from running the football. As I mentioned, he wants to go out that right side of the offense there. But this week he might show a little bit more willingness to run, because Dallas has had some trouble defending quarterbacks that have pulled the ball and run, and then he could run then get down on the ground and not take a hit.
And they had the mini bye, so maybe he's a little bit feeling better, a little bit more spry. Better.
Yeah, but This is a really good offense in the regard of because of the quarterback, the running game, and then also the skill guys, especially with Terry McLaurin playing, and then the reemergence of Zach Ertz at tight end. They've done a much better job.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Krusty's Corner every afternoon, 3:40, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning. We're going to talk Mavs with Tim Cato of All City Dallas next in the nation.